Okay, as I mentioned, we're going to move to Module 3 and Step 6 and 7. Step 6 is Author New Experiences, and Step 7, Program New Identity. So, just in a brief recap, we trust our stories. They're our reality. When our stories and our behaviors don't fit, we experience disharmony. We have to change one or the other to restore harmony. Sometimes we revise our stories. Sometimes we have to change how we see reality. Now, we've considered if your story doesn't allow you to do certain things. If your story is that you're a procrastinator, it will disallow you from finishing early. If your story says you don't do technology well, you'll live out this assumption. I'm somewhat familiar with this story. And we always monitor our impact as coaches, what works and what doesn't, how to dose, time, and titrate our responses, because they have to be absorbed and metabolized by our clients to be useful, how to incorporate the client's work and performance style and personality into the work, to not respond personally to the client's stuckness or resistance. So as we guide clients to author new experiences, at first, the idea of change is going to create excitement. Then, as it's on the cusp of reality and action, anxiety. Then, finally, expansion and mastery. So, I want you to listen empathically for two additional aspects that can appear together but may seem a paradox. And we've all experienced this because we are engaging change to move to this profession from a previous work or profession. Every one of you is experiencing some aspects of this, not just with change on a daily basis, but with career change. And I'd suggest that you view these from a wide-angle lens because they're really a developmental overview of writing a new story. One, every step forward means relinquishing a past position. So someone must mourn. They must say goodbye emotionally as well as practically to a familiar, maybe long-held and practiced old story. This is a process. It's a developmental step. It's not something you can just say and make it so or recognize and change it. It's like saying goodbye to an old friend to give up a habit or a pattern of behavior or a hope that by getting the old story just right or doing it better, it's going to finally work. No matter how maladaptive, the old story still has to be mourned. For example, a number of years ago, when I worked with eating disorder individuals, each of the hundreds of young women with bulimia I worked with had to mourn her bulimia, the loyal companion it had become, being there when no one else was, to come to the end of her past and successfully move on and redefine her identity. Two. The more subtle aspect in learning something new and creating change can be an injury to self-esteem. This carefully crafted old story, even with some aspects of identity attached, is replaced by something better. So it's kind of a narcissistic injury for someone to recognize that not only is what they're doing their story, but it's also something that can be improved on, and they can write a better story. So they may eagerly embrace that, but it's still kind of a narcissistic injury to recognize that they haven't been doing the very best that they could. So I think that there are some different components in this dynamic of change that might be helpful to look at. Now, these aren't headlines. These are not something you're going to see a manifestation of with each client. These are just to think about for you as mentor coaches as internal conceptual markers. The myth that there is a perfect choice. The illusion that the perfect choice will solve all the problems. The disappointment that nothing is perfect. There isn't even an ultimate arbiter of fairness. The development, the recognition that no one's going to take care of it for you. The growth to take the next best action. And the consolidation, the combined happy-sad experience that results, happy about the autonomy of moving ahead, the effectiveness of doing it on your own, and not constructing an obstacle, but sad about mourning the old story. So, to author new experiences, sometimes you have to think outside the box. Now, this is a commonly heard phrase, but how do you do that? What is the box even? So, and how do you think outside of it? Randall Kennedy put it this way: thinking that frees itself of reflexive obedience to familiar signals. This is a quote I saw printed on the Student Union at Princeton. So how do you know when you're in the box to get out of it, to revise your story or write another one? Now, these questions assume that the story is just there, a given in the universe, as if the proverbial box of the familiar and accepted is the obstacle. But it's not there until we create it or accept it. And people are always free to change their minds, their beliefs, their core assumptions. So the box is a result of programming and conditioning. It's self-created in adulthood. And boxes are not a bad thing, but it's a fixed mindset. They don't have to be limiting, however. They can be defining, guiding, validating, and expandable. They can be a growth mindset. So listen to the different boxes to hear how very arbitrary and situational each one is, and each one with its own intrinsic set of beliefs, behaviors, and rules. The first, people treat a piece of processed leather as if it were sacred. They protect it, hide it, try to steal it. There are all kinds of rules about what you can and can't do with it, even who can touch it or hold it. If it crosses an arbitrary line somebody draws, it can count for different points. 1, 2, -2, 3, sometimes 6. Football. Another, it moves in and out of your life. It varies daily. You want more, but you may keep doing the same thing not to get it. Two people can do the very same thing and obtain very different quantities. You can buy it or sell it, but the price changes daily, even minute by minute at times. It's a stand-in for what you want, even for what you may despise. It's the most desired legal substance to all peoples of the world. Money. And a third, there's no clear definition of winning. It's always at risk. There's always a price to pay. There's always another level of success. Money, your life story, your wellness story, any story you write. Now, here's a footnote for those of you who work with executives or business owners to write the next chapter of their business stories. The box can be limiting and inflexible. The canal boat companies of the 1700s did not become the railroad companies of the 1800s. They stuck to their box. And in the 1900s, there were no Union Pacific Airlines. They stuck to their box. Good to gone. Motorola stuck to their story and slid from a premier electronics firm to a troubled industry. Meanwhile, Nokia asked and listened to children and young people just developing their stories and use their feedback to become world class. Good to great. So, open yourself to possibilities you haven't quite imagined yet. Scarcity is a rigid box. Abundance is expandable. No one can grant you freedom. You have to declare it. No one gives you power. You have to generate it, claim it, and not give it away. So to recognize yourself as the author, the creator of your story, may challenge an assumed model and lead to the deeper question, how do I create something else instead, and what will that something else be? Now, to simply stop doing something is not complete change. A new story means incorporating new behavior and beliefs. You have to embody, actually live your new story. To abstain from an old story, from stuckness or repetition, is a beginning, but someone has to engage a new story before an old story can be given up. A mind that accepts a new idea generates a new dimension. A brain that creates a new experience alters its neurochemistry and neuronal pathways. Neuroscientists now know that the brain is sculpted by changes and experiences. The mind can change the brain. It's an inside job. So, for this step, here are a dozen AAA principles of change to author a new story. The three A's are awareness, acceptance, and action. Number one, you're writing your own story. Is it working? For each component, what are the results? Honestly assess each of these storylines with the question, is it working? And make that a yes or no. Your personal wellness story, mind, body, spirit. Your business career story. Your relationship story. Your money story. When I ask people what they most look forward to and what they're most afraid of for the next chapters of their lives, they often respond with vague dreams yet specific fears. The top of the lists of long-term concerns are two, health and money. A not-so-secret to success is that you have to pay in full for that success. So you might as well find out what the price is, pay it in full, pay it as soon as possible, and enjoy the benefits of success. The price is always some form of energy, whether that energy is money, time, work, or experience. If you get something for which you haven't provided value or benefit, you'll still have to pay in some way. If you incur debt, in other words, if you spend more than you make, to purchase something before you've earned the money, you simply end up paying more for it to pay off the debt. Another non-secret, people who truly enjoy getting what they want are those who find a way to enjoy paying the price. I'm doing it right now. I love this. I think you're going to make such a difference to so many lives. So it's not paying at all. It's a passion. So the price is whatever you need to give in order to generate exactly what you want for your purpose. Two, you're writing your own story. It takes just as much energy to create any belief in your story. Positive or negative, past, present, future, adaptive or maladaptive, it takes the same energy for any one of these. The belief of scarcity takes just as much energy as the belief of abundance. You generate the energy and focus and give power to your story to live it out. Now, here's the subtle but crucial distinction. You give specific power to your story and it assumes a momentum and power of its own. And remember, you're not the subject or the victim of that process. You're the creator of it. Here's a short list of some results when you focus on what you don't want. Fear, anxiety, anger, confusion, annoyance, helplessness, guilt, physical symptoms. Three, you're writing your own story. Decide what you want. The primary reason people don't get what they want is they're not quite sure what they want. Now, here's a neuroscience law of attraction question. How does the brain work like a travel agent? First two questions a travel agent asks, or a travel website. Where do you want to go? When do you want to get there? A goal is like MapQuest. You program in where you want to go, and then generate a map and determine the time. Now, a caveat here, to know what not to do is at least as important as knowing what to do. This is the purpose of having a map. You know where you are, where you're going. You can measure progress along the way. You can tell what's detour and distraction. You may not always know what the next right thing is, but you can almost always know what it isn't. And what you resist, you draw toward you. Resistance is an engagement. It's a focused energy. It's kind of like saying that anger is as passionate an attachment as love. There is energy, powerful energy, directed both ways. And here's a result of how resistance is an engagement. Most suffering is the result of resisting what already is. People resist going to the doctor, but they aren't afraid of doctors. They're afraid their denial is going to be confronted. 4, you're writing your own story. Do you have specific measurable goals? In a Harvard study begun in the mid-1950s, 10-15% of the Harvard Business School graduates fashioned a vision and specific goals for their life in business. 5 decades later, those 10-15% had 90% of the assets of the entire group. A similar study was done over 4 decades of undergraduates at Dartmouth, and the results were even more skewed. The 3% who had specific goals, time-bound, ended up having 97% of the assets of the entire group. And this was Dartmouth. Motivation increases as soon as you're clear about the goal and the payoff. Focus enhances when you have a specific plan and strategy. So, review from the workbook the exercise 11 Steps to Ignite Success. Begins on page 3.13. And I want to highlight 3 components to establish SMART goals. Now, again, when I'm talking about assets of the group in the Harvard Business and the Dartmouth, they are measuring tangible assets, but I would encourage you to broaden aspects to look at mind, body, spirit, a number of different ways of looking at wealth, not just money and not just assets, but whatever wealth and the resources, spiritual, mental, physical, that you value. So, to establish SMART goals, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound. There's an exercise, or the 11 Steps to Ignite Success will spell that out, about one suggested way of doing that with clients. For example, it's estimated that less than 10% of people have measurable goals. 100% of people have good ideas, at least some. The difference between a good idea and a goal, measurement, and time, where and when, the travel agent questions. Here's a good idea. I like to lose weight. Here's a goal. I will reach 185 pounds by the Boston Marathon. Here's a good idea. I want to make more money. Here's a goal. I will generate $220,000 from coaching and $215,000 from products and royalties in the next 12 months and help launch the new careers of at least 100 coaches. Here's a good idea. I'll save more for retirement. Here's a goal. I will set up an automatic deduction of X amount, you fill in the blank, the first of every month from my checking account to go into my retirement account. You make a good decision once. It can make a difference for the rest of your life. Now, then, also write a breakthrough goal, something that would stretch you, bring incredible opportunities, move you to a higher level, a quantum leap, getting a book on the New York Times bestseller list, spending every March skiing in Steamboat Springs and every August riding on the coast of Maine. Now, you'll have to substitute your own goals here, obviously. Then, reread your goals, regular and breakthrough, twice a day, when you wake up, when you go to bed. 5, you're writing your own story. Small changes lead to big changes. This is really fundamental in what we do in mentor coaching, to shrink the change to a next step that is tangible and specific and can create traction. Here's an example of focus on a simple, specific action that can create a sense of effectiveness and initiate a model of mastery. Terry Fox ran the Marathon of Hope. It's a cross-Canada run of 3,339 miles. Since he had an artificial leg, his running style was a shuffle and a hop. He managed to average 24 miles a day, completed the run in 143 days. Immediately after the race, he was interviewed and asked how did he keep himself going when he was exhausted and knew he still had thousands of miles ahead. His response, I just kept running to the next telephone pole. Now, he knew where he was going. He knew that the telephone poles went to the end of the line, but all he focused on then was just getting to the next telephone pole, a perfect model of shrinking the change to the next step. So divide up your work. Focus on it and complete one thing at a time. There's always something you can focus on. Here's an example of that. During my specialty training in psychiatry, one of my first-year supervisors had a really puzzling picture on his wall. It was a photograph in which everything seemed curiously out of focus. I met with him every week, and I'd look at the photograph, and finally, toward the end of the year, I mustered enough courage to ask him about it. He said, look carefully, Dave, what do you see? Well, I walked over to the photograph to get a closer look. Closer didn't help. It still seemed out of focus. I saw no particular aesthetic value. My experience and my considerable interest in photography didn't help. I said, Steve, the only thing I notice is there's only one branch of one tree in focus in the entire picture. He nodded. That's why I have it hanging there. It's my reminder that while things may seem confusing and blurry, there's always at least one thing you can have in focus and see clearly, which is why he was a great supervisor for first-year residents. 6. You're writing your own story. Be consistent in the pursuit of your goals. It takes about 25 to 30 days to etch a new pathway in the brain to make it permanent. Remember the NASA astronauts. Write your story consistently for it to become the default mode. 7. You're writing your own story. The benefit of doing more of what's working and less of what isn't working will become evident and self-perpetuating. Now, this is good. This is really simple. Good parents have known this for centuries. Sometimes it just takes human science and cognitive research to remind us of the obvious. That whatever we respond to in ourselves and others will either enhance or sustain. We can foster change by conscious practices and effective tools. There are an infinite sea of new patterns and possibilities that can be created to further new goals. The caveat, though, you have to take action to diminish pre-programmed responses, the default modes, and to write new script for new experiences. A new story has to replace the old one, and you have to tolerate the discomfort of the change in doing that. There are effective and efficient methods to accelerate optimum change and ensure transformation. That's what the roadmap system is about. 8. You're writing your own story. Ask for feedback. To your spouse or partner, ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate the quality of our relationship. To your employees and colleagues, on a scale of 1 to 10, how am I doing? Then, how can I get to 10? A tribe in southern Africa called the Babemba has an interesting practice. When they hear a story of a person doing something wrong, something that destroys the social net of their tight community, all work in the village halls. The people gather around the offender and one by one recite all that that person has done right in his life. good deeds, responsible behavior, thoughtful acts. This honest feedback on misbehavior has a time-honored consequence to allow the person to reclaim the better part of himself or herself. She remembers who she is and why she is important to the life of the village. This may have been an original 360-degree feedback. Even without this kind of social network and feedback, we can relax and remember our way back into alignment with our true selves. We can get centered and reconnect with our true essence. So, one way of thinking about this, find people who already successfully do what you do and get what you want. Research what they do, but do your own version of it. Ask, learn, question, but make it your story. Guess who said this? It's not that I'm so smart. It's that I stay with problems longer. That was Albert Einstein. And here's what I think is an interesting statistic. After giving a complete presentation about the benefits of their service or product, more than 60% of the time, seasoned, successful salespeople forgot to ask for the order. How to ask is an important factor. Ask clearly, confidently, sincerely. Virginia Satir, the well-known family therapist, was hired by the Michigan State Department of Social Services to submit a proposal on how to restructure the Department of Social Services to better serve the client population. 60 days later, she provided the department with a 150-page report. They said two things. This is the most amazing report, and how did you come up with all those brilliant ideas? She said, I just asked all the social workers in your department what it would take for the system to work better. Now, just a brief sidebar here. You may have noticed that each of these AAA principles of change to author a new story begins the same way. You're writing your own story. That's the first four steps of the roadmap. Recognize, observe, assess, and decide. Compressed into the shorthand of awareness and acceptance. The third A, 12 action steps. It has to be put into an output channel, into action. 9, you're writing your own story. Get success insurance. What is that? Well, a review of research on goal setting. This is summarized in your workbook, because I think if you use that workbook with clients, this is a study that would help them too. It helps us look at two essential components: why people give up on goals, and then how effective goal setting can help ensure long-term achievement. So, what this means is the most common things that interfere with someone achieving their goal, when these are addressed, it's success insurance. So, look at these six aspects that are important in setting and achieving a goal. Ownership, time-bound, that's reasonable, including understanding the difficulty, because sometimes we have an optimism bias that when it's harder, we kind of give up. If it's harder than we think it is, distractions, maintenance, a challenge is to maintain new behavior because there's always the pull of the old and the fear of the new. And look at what the actual rewards are, internal especially, and external. And to be sure that it fits, because disappointment can set in when achieving a goal doesn't translate to a hoped-for happiness when that's not going to be the result. That may be an epiphenomenon, but that's not going to be the result. So to look at the realistic goals and realistic expectations that your client has. 10, you're writing your own story. Take a chance. You didn't have a New York Times bestseller before you sent your manuscript to an agent. If you get it rejected, you still don't. So what do you got to lose? What's the problem? You spent your whole life not having a New York Times bestseller. A young chiropractor, just out of professional school, wanted to open a practice in Carmel, California. He was told he'd never make it. There's already one chiropractor for every 8 people in Carmel. He went to 12,500 homes, talked to 6,500 people, and he asked 3 questions. Which location should I open my office, the north or west side of town? Should I have extra office hours from 7 to 9 in the morning or 5 to 7 in the afternoon? And which newspaper should I advertise in? And he added as he was leaving, when I have an open house party, would you like an invitation? In the first month, he took in $72,500, and his first year, he netted over $1 million. 11. You're writing your own story. It's never too late to start. Don't let conventional wisdom or limiting assumptions, yours or anyone else's, ghostwrite your story. Cliff Beon was a 61-year-old Australian sheep herder. He heard about a cross-country race from Sydney to Melbourne and decided to enter. He showed up in Oshkosh overalls and work boots. The officials looked at him like he was crazy. They said, this is a race of over 800 kilos, the most seasoned runners in the world compete. Do you have any running experience and equipment? He said, yeah, I run after my sheep every day, and I got these boots and this baseball cap. Well, when the race began, the world-class runners took off as they were trained to begin. Cliff started shuffling along in his boots. You're supposed to run 18 hours and sleep 6, but nobody told Cliff this. So when the other runners were sleeping, he just kept shuffling along. They were asleep, and they couldn't tell him what he wasn't supposed to be running. So he shuffled along for over 3 days. He cut 5.5 hours off the world record. We each have beliefs that may limit us. Find the story that will improve and believe that. If there were no barriers, what would your ideal life be? And 12, you're writing your own story. Everything is okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. For tens of thousands of years before books and computers, we transmitted our essence and principles by story. Story linked to the past, organized the present, and illuminated the future. Story allowed us to connect with each other's humanity in the paths crossed on the long journeys out of Africa to populate the rest of the world. Then the anatomy and physiology of our brains grew by putting thoughts and feelings into stories. Stories informed, instructed, inspired, governed, organized. Story is the most powerful way humans communicate. Stories give birth to possibility. Stories are a way we resonate with our earlier selves, connect with others, and create a roadmap to proceed. Your story is yourself, your life, and it's what will survive you as well. At some point in the distant future, all that will be left of you, all that will survive you, is your story. Be sure to get it right. Step 7. Program new identity to incorporate and sustain the changes. Now, remember we talked about, I want to reiterate it here, possibly the most powerful force of the human psyche is that we always revert to our identity. We always have a fallback, a default position of doing what we consider as our core identity of who we are. That includes whenever we make a change, unless that's incorporated into our story and the essence of how and who we see ourselves, then we're going to revert to the identity and give up the change. It's also how we make decisions like purchase decisions. If you line up 20 items, and this is from some neuroscience and particularly neuroeconomics labs, you line up a number of items, and when each person looks at the item, if they're on an fMRI scan and someone is looking at the part of the brain that generates and integrates a sense of self, and there is an actual part of the brain that creates our self story, whenever that part of the brain that's consistent with identity lights up. That's the one item that predictably they will purchase out of however many items are introduced. We buy what is consistent with our identity. And think about it. This is how we make many decisions. So that's why, as we work with clients, we have to always keep in mind the model that they are using to operate on, their sense of identity. So when they're creating a new story, as we listen to that story, we want to highlight and emphasize not just the change and to facilitate and catalyze the change, but also to keep in mind the transformation that needs to be made of how and who they see themselves, and to highlight that as well, and to emphasize the transformative ability that they have to see themselves in a current context, that their old story is their old story. In fact, the only way to totally give up an old story, including an identity and the default modes that are part of that, is to be fully inside a new story. So it's something that we always want to be aware of and to highlight, so that that becomes a part of the function that we're doing with a client, because that's what's going to be incorporated as the ability to self-reflect and to self-evaluate and to internalize this process of change for the rest of their lives, so that they'll continue to do, ultimately without you, what they were doing with you during the time that you worked together. So there are a number of things to consider in terms of identity. Look at the different exercises. I would recommend, especially at this point, to look at some of the exercises in Step 7, the workbook components in your curriculum that have to do with how to do various reflections and assessment, especially about the mission statement. In business, a mission statement is a statement of an organization's primary purpose, the strategies to achieve that purpose, its fundamental values. And a personal mission statement can clarify and provide meaning for what your game plan, what your purpose is. And a mission statement has four elements. Ideals, the core values that motivate and guide you and define what's important to you. Your ideals, your values. Remember, that's part of what we did and what we discussed in the initial assessment part, to look at needs and to look at ideals. Another here, in addition to ideals, for a personal mission statement, purpose. What do you want to accomplish? And purpose has to be consistent with your ideals. Strategy, the third part, is simply the art and science of a plan of action. And goals can be effective, especially when they're SMART goals: specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-bound. So create a personal mission statement. What's your life purpose? What are you meant to do? This is the compass to guide your life story to personal fulfillment. I'll share mine, since you ask. To inspire and guide others to achieve their unique, most empowered life and business stories. Write yours down. Read it every day. Also to consider, follow success trails. Have you said some version of the following? Well, I want to change careers, but I'm not sure what I do instead. Or I'd really like to get in shape, but I'm not sure where to start. I want to play a bigger game, but I'm not sure what that is. Decide how you want to expand. Then pick success trails to follow. Seek out a mentor, books, program, resources to help you. Watch someone who's doing what you might want to do, and ask them to take them to lunch and pick their brain, or to shadow them, or if it's to hire a mentor coach. Here's an example. When my good buddy Art heard that I was transitioning from psychoanalytic practice many years ago and had completed my professional coach training, he flew to Houston to take me to dinner. A few years earlier, he left IBM at a senior executive position in an early retirement. He was the lead salesperson in the country in IBM before he was an executive. He told me what he did to make his consulting business successful. He chose five very successful people and asked them to lunch or dinner to pick their brains about what he was about to do. And he advised me to do the same. And he said, you get to count me, four more. It worked for both of us. Some business people with instant global recognition still pick his brain for substantial picking fees. So create a support team, construct an advisory board, maybe a networking group, engage a mentor coach, maybe join a mastermind group. So there's some material about the art and science of affirmations that are in your outline. I'm going to send you the chapter, and I'm going to send you the entire book, as I mentioned, about Outsmart Your Brain, an instruction manual, very shortly when I get it back from a revision I'm doing that has in the visualization chapter a component about a specific and systematic way to look at visualization and affirmations. So, how many goals should you generate affirmation for? A reasonable amount, at least three, maybe more, that you're working on daily. In this way, you create the feeling, the experience of internal success by having a vision. You rewire your brain. The affirmations are the stories that support your vision. So you're revising mind software with revisions. So this is part of programming new identity, to rewire your brain and to revise mind software. This can occur in the work you're doing individually with yourself using these steps. This can occur with your clients as they're working with you, and maybe even supplement it in a more formal way as they go through workbook exercises if you decide to do it that way. And you'll notice at the same page that you downloaded the outline and the syllabus and have the seminars that we've done so far, and we'll have the future ones to download for an MP3 or listen to online. There's a 28-week protocol. That's a systematic way of using the workbook exercises divided into 28 weeks to work with clients if you want to work in that structured way. It's something that I created as a response to coaches who wanted to use it, especially wanted to use the entire workbook with coaching groups. And it's what I did for the first three coaching groups I did with people who had trained with me and wanted to do a coaching group to have people who were going through the same thing or had gone through the same thing to do the exercise, talk about it, support each other, and really catalyze their work in this way. So what you do as you program identity is you make it permanent. You make it part of who you are, not just a change you're engaging. You inhabit the experience. An affirmation will initially make you feel uncomfortable or even anxious because it's about change. With an affirmation that's positive and not yet achieved, you're challenging a core belief of your identity, of who you are. You are breaking your script. Now, you are each alchemist. Alchemists are people who believe in potential, in transformative power. And remember the most important lesson from everything I've said during this time together today. Just keep going to the next telephone pole.